Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer, please. Okay. Father, we thank you that we can gather and bow down before you and have your precious word at our disposal, Lord, and guide us today as we again look into one of the many psalms, Lord, and one of the seven repentant penitential psalms, probably the most well-known one, Psalm 51. So guide us in this. May we learn from what David learned. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, David is one of my heroes. And on one hand, you may kind of look down on him, what he did with Bathsheba. But if our goal is to point fingers at sin, then we ought to have about 10 of them pointing toward ourselves. And the great thing about David, he learned so much from being quiet about his sin for a year. That is not good. But his Psalms reflect that. And so God uses everything. And when he closes with his last Psalm, he doesn't say, "Thus says the King of David, thus says the giant slayer." He says, "Sweet psalmist, sweet psalmist." And so it is just such a beautiful psalm we have before us. And what did he learn in that year of quietness? Well, verses 16 and 17 kind of come to that, what he learned, I think. And he's talking to God and he says, "You do not desire sacrifice or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." How well do you understand brokenness? Oh, I know what it means. It means to be broken. How well does brokenness fit you? How well does brokenness reflected in your life? That's a little bit more difficult to put your finger on, at least it is for me. But we see here one of the best definitions of brokenness, I think, in the entire Bible, in Psalm 51. And so I wanted to begin this morning with a praise song. I've got a couple of Maranatha praise songs today. Familiar songs, short songs. And I played a whole bunch of different possible songs for this psalm. And I thought we better keep it simple. Let's just listen to the Word of God, really. But in verse 1 we read, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." And so let's sing this Maranatha praise song. "Thy loving kindness is better than life." The words are on page 1.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name.
Psalm 51, a prayer of repentance to the chief musician. So this was to be sung. A psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Now, if I was king of Israel and I had done this sin, I don't think I would want to have this psalm sung to the whole nation of Israel, you know. I mean, it's like, wow, I don't want to bring that sin up. But notice, the first thing we read here, he wants to get back to grace. He wants to get back to the right position with the Lord. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. He's fully confessing and recognizing it was he who sinned. It's not all those other people made me do it. It's not my background. It's not my unfortunate position in life and all this. No, he's coming clean here. He's saying, have mercy on me, O God. And then he says, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Think of that. Multitude, not just according to your mercy, not just according to your tender mercy, but according to your multitude of tender mercies. Isn't that who we serve? But when we sin and we can be so overcome with guilt, reminded by Satan, of course, how much of a wretch we are, and we kind of get away from the grace of God. We get off on the side and kind of all down, and it's just a bad way. In fact, in David there in Psalm 32, he said, during that time he was silent, his bones grew old and he groaned. I mean, he's dying. His body is dying in this kind of a situation. It really does affect you physically as well. But he says, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, he asked for three things. Blot out my transgression. Wash me. Now, that is a very strong word in the Hebrew. It actually means in the washing of those days, they would put something in a container or something like that, and they would actually tromp on it. Really get it clean. They would really, really wash it. So this is wash me, really clean me, thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Now, sin is missing the mark. Transgression is crossing the line. I mentioned that a little earlier to Phil back there about sinning. You know, willful sinning. Oh, I don't do willful sinning. Oh, no, I know better than that. Really? Every time I get tempted, it's very clear there's a line there. Seems to me. It's a straight line. It's not a crooked line. It's a straight line. And I'm not to cross that, right? But I decide to cross it anyway, just a little bit. It's just a little bit. I'm just pretty close. And, you know, of course, God doesn't strike me dead with lightning. So, yeah, a little bit more. And pretty soon, you can be drifting into compromise to where you're comfortable in your position. You've crossed that line, but you're not where you should be. Should get back on the other side, right? So he says, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. That's all the evil within me, so to speak, iniquity. And cleanse me, as I mentioned, washing, cleansing here. That would be like cleansing a leper, basically, is that term. You know, no, a leper was never healed. A leper was always cleansed. And so we want to be cleansed here. Cleanse me from what? My sin. Actually, that's a form of leprosy in a way, a kind of like anyway. And then he says what? I acknowledge my transgressions. Have you ever found your place you didn't want to acknowledge your transgressions? I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is always before me. That's a healthy regret, I think. Against you, you only have I sinned. Now, that's a big thing, isn't it? I think about my sin hurting other people. I think about my sin and the effects of that. But I'm sinning against God, is what David is recognizing here. Against you, you only. He doesn't say against you and, you know, Bathsheba and Ahithophel, her grandfather, who would turn into hatred and eventually hang himself because of this sin. Can you imagine? Here's his grandfather, these two grandfathers, very close, Ahithophel and David. I mean, they were so close. And one of the grandfathers then takes advantage of his best friend or one of his best friend's granddaughter. How would you feel about that? No wonder Ahithophel got mad at him. But that hatred destroyed Ahithophel then. My sin is always before me against you, and you only have I sinned and done what? This evil, there's iniquity, done this evil in your sight. Now he has this godly sorrow because he's thinking about the Lord, that you, against you and you only, and that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. He's actually even thinking about the effect of his sin on God. Now you may think, well, God isn't affected by my sin. Well, he sure is. He loves me so much. Look what he paid for the price of my sin. And now I'm going to sin anyway. So purge is another word, cleanse. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was well known. They used that for all the blood sacrifices. They would dip the bush, little bush, which is all over in Israel, and find those easily. They'd dip the little bush in the basin of blood they'd collected from killing the animal, and they'd sprinkle it. So it's a sprinkling thing. You think of that as sprinkling here. Purge me. Well, wait, I skipped one there, didn't I? I skipped down a little bit. And blameless when you judge. Verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I mentioned that in my sin. My mother conceived me. Behold, you desired truth in the inward parts. Now, this is where I think we want to look at brokenness. One gauge, I believe, in brokenness is how long does it take you after being convicted by the Spirit of your sin, does it take you to acknowledge that and to confess it? How long did it take David here? It took him 1 year. That is not brokenness, but it comes to brokenness. He's broken when he's writing this psalm. So it's good for us to see what he has gone through. And he said, verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Confess your sin. And the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. How does God make you know wisdom? Right here, it's his word. Right here, it's his word. So when you pray for wisdom, I think it's wise if you spend time in his word. Oh, I can have wisdom without the word. Oh, really? I don't think so. I think that's the way God gives us wisdom primarily. Well, you can say I've got some wisdom just because I pray for it. That's good. Then cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. He's taking all this personally here now. He's recognizing his sin. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. And that's where I mentioned Psalm 32. He says his bones grew old during this period of time. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities, back to blotting them out again. And then verse 10, this is getting now down to part of it. Create in me a clean heart, or you might say pure heart. Clean heart or pure heart, O God. So he's not saying, patch up this old rotten heart. He's asking for a new heart, right? I mean, you don't create a remodel job, not God. God gives us a new heart, right? So give me a new heart, Lord, a clean heart. This one I've got is pretty dirty. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Oh, that spirit, sometimes it's really good and strong and really is really dominating kind of my life. And the other times it's not so strong, kind of weak. But renew it. Renew it, a fresh appreciation of the power of the Spirit working within me. And then do not cast me away from your presence. What a great term that is. I know I don't deserve to be close to him, or him close to me. But don't cast me away from your presence. And then do not take your Holy Spirit from me. That's a good prayer for David. It's not necessarily so appropriate for you and for me and any believer after Pentecost, because we're all filled with the Holy Spirit as believers. And nothing will take that away from us, really. But still, you can envision it. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And then here's a restoration. Now listen to this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I wrote down in great big letters, have I lost that? Have I lost the joy of my salvation? Does that joy shine forth when people see my life? Do they see any joy in my salvation in my life? I can tell you this, if every time you see me, I'm complaining about something, not a lot of joy in my salvation, in my outward aspect there at any rate. So restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. May I have a willing spirit, Lord. And now here's a kind of a commitment to respond. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. That's what's happening here in this psalm. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be brought back, converted to you. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. How appreciative are you of serving the Lord? How appreciative are you of having an influence? Scripture says, thanks be to God, what? Who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us, what? Diffuses the fragrance, his knowledge into every place. Going on to say, not that we are sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who what? Who makes us believers, ministers of the gospel. Did you know you're made to be, as a believer, to be a minister of the gospel? Isn't that awesome? And sinners shall be converted to you. We can't save anybody, but we can show them God's love in our lives, can we? Verse 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. Oh, yes. The God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. How much singing and praising is in your life? If you're really down in the dumps in guilt, you're not going to want to sing and praise at all. I mean, you might kind of go through the motions, but you really can't do it. Your heart isn't there. But here he's saying, deliver me from the guilt. Open my mouth, open my lips, show forth your praise, let my tongue sing aloud of your righteousness. How often am I using this tongue for singing his righteousness? I don't seem to have any trouble using it to cut people up. It seems to come pretty natural. But singing? Am I really singing? And then we get back to what he's learned again. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So that pretty much is the psalm. He's going to close now with asking for prosperity to Zion, good pleasure. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. And I think what he's really saying there, Lord, I'm the king of Israel. And I have given my enemies all kinds of opportunities here. May it not impact Jerusalem. May it not impact your holy city. May it not impact Zion. But may it prosper. So a great example here, is it not, of brokenness. And as we think about that, may we remember this psalm and go back to it and do it. Check off the list in our hearts on where we are. Father, we just thank you for your word wherever we are. It's so rich and so meaningful, and we need it so much. So, Lord, thank you for another beautiful psalm here. Beautiful, I say. It's just as so instructive, too, it seems. Help us to indeed have a broken and a contrite spirit. And Lord, we have the opportunity to pray now this morning once again. So would you lead us in this time of prayer? In Jesus' name. Let's close in this song. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Create in me a clean heart.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord. And as we remember brokenness, Lord, it seems like one of the most vivid examples of that was your prayer in the garden, Lord. Not my will, not my will, not my will, but your will be done. May that be true for each of us, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.